Today on Garnet and Great.
I look back, and this is no lie. Gatorade water coolers were vibrating off the bench and shaking like it was an earthquake. And the whole ground was just shaking. And I was like going, man, what's going on here? And the benches were just bouncing up and down because of the noise and the excitement and all of that. And old Nate Henderson looks at me and he goes, Kurt, welcome to college football.
Can Mike Norvell do what Bobby Bowden did in the 1970s? Rebuild a proud program to once again compete with college football's best? Today, another player who was there during Bowden's early years, Kurt Unglob, reveals how Bowden resurrected FSU football. You know, the heavy lifting that laid the foundation for all those top five finishes and two national crowns? The story begins with why Kurt would tear up an SEC letter of intent to play for an FSU team that had won only four games the previous three seasons. Here's Kurt from the Garnet and Great Archives.
I actually signed a letter of intent with University of Tennessee. Back in those days, you could actually sign several letters of intent. But at the national signing date, which was in February, that's when you had to really decide where you wanted to go. Mike Schumann, which was a former wide receiver at Florida State, was also a Leon High School All-American star, who was one of my mentors at Leon. He was a senior, and I was a freshman. Mike was already at Florida State, and he came to a practice. We were practicing for the state championship. I'd won it in 1974 with Wally Woodham. We were playing it with Jimmy Jordan, which was 1975, in the state championship finals. We were practicing at Doak Campbell Stadium. Mike went to Coach Cox, which is my high school coach, said, hey, can I bring Kurt back? Because we rode a bus over there from Leon to Florida State. Can I bring Kurt back? I want to show him something. And I want to talk to him about coming to Florida State. And I went, So Mike Schumann took me into the coach's office room. And in the coach's office room, they've got a depth chart. It's got all of the names of people on it. Schumann's name was the flanker, and Roger Overby, Mike Barnes, a couple other guys were the split ends. And Mike Schumann told me this, and I'll never forget this. He goes, Kurt, you go to Tennessee, I don't know how much you're going to play. Right now, you're better than all of those boys right there. And he said, you can play tomorrow at Florida State if you want to. And Mike convinced me to come to Florida State because he knew that I could play early. And if you look at my career, I played a lot in the beginning, even though I had injuries. I didn't play a lot at the end because of injuries, but I wanted to play early in my career. I wanted to play early. I didn't want to wait. And at Florida State, I knew that could happen. Then all of a sudden, Bowden comes in. So the next thing I know, I have a great scrimmage one night, and I'm the starting wide receiver as a freshman. And Mike Schumann looked at me and said, didn't I tell you? And I'll never forget that in my life. And Mike and I laugh about that all the time. And I played, you know, from the first kickoff of Bowden's first game till, you know, to as many downs as I played. So that was it.
76, of course, your freshman year. But in your sophomore year, 77, was beating Auburn. I believe it was 24-3. Was that the first memorable win, do you think, in the Bowden era?
Beating Auburn was huge. But I tell you, the first memorable win was coming back my freshman year, which is 1976, and beating Virginia Tech in Tallahassee. And we were down 21-27, and they were driving the score to put the game away completely. Roscoe Coles was their running back. They had a ball on the five-yard line, and they fumbled. And what's neat about that is that the guy that hit Roscoe Coles was a freshman. The guy that recovered it was a freshman. The guy that centered the ball to Jimmy Jordan was a freshman. Jimmy was a freshman. And he threw it to a wide receiver that was a freshman. And we won the game 28-27. Well, I don't know exactly the score. But we ended up winning the game with less than a minute to go. And it was five freshmen that created that whole scenario from recovering, hitting the ball, recovering the fumble, centering the ball, throwing the ball, and catching the ball. We won the game with minutes to go. And that to me was probably the start of Florida State. It was the last game of the season. We had so much momentum going into 77. We had a really good core of underclassmen The Reggie Herrings came in. The Paul Borowskis came in. The Ron Simmons came in. All of those guys knew that they were watching that game, and they saw the momentum of Florida State all of a sudden switch because we won the last three games of that 76 year. So we turned the tide with that, but that was a very memorable win. Larry Key went 97 yards in that game also on a run.
That touchdown catch and run, that was you, right, on a 96-yard touchdown?
That's correct. It was a straight go, 68X go or something like that. That was a blocking formation. That was the pass setup, and the go was just a straight takeoff. And Jordan, you know, him and I played high school football together. We had so much confidence in each other. I knew he was going to throw it to me, and he knew I was going to try to figure out a way to catch it. So that confidence of all that chemistry that we did in so many hours of practice, it was just easy, and it was a first play. I mean, we didn't even hesitate. We didn't want to run and play the first play. We ran a go to a slow wide receiver, but we knew that the coverage was going to be a little softer because they didn't expect a pass. They expected probably a run or maybe a play action pass, and we knew that we could catch them off guard real quick. And we threw it up. Jordan threw it up. I'll never forget it. There's three of us that went up for it, two guys from Virginia Tech and one and me. And when I caught it and came down on my feet, and both of those guys came down on their rear ends. So they stumbled and fell. And all of a sudden, I'm like going, whoa. So I took off as hard and fast as I could run, which is no, wasn't fast. But the cornerback, the defensive back from the other side, literally chased me down before I got to the end zone. And if he would have just continued to pursue his angle, he would have tackled me probably on the 5 or 6 yard line. But he dove for me and missed me. And I ended up in the end zone for a 96 yard touchdown pass. And it was like, you know, Bowden teases me about it all the time. He said the calendar turned a couple times as you were doing that. Because it just took forever to get there. And he was like, come on, hurry, hurry, hurry. But it was a well-executed play that turned out to be great. So, I mean, it was good.
Well, that set the table for 77. And, you know, a lot of Noles from that area, what they remember from 77 was the way that you guys not just beat Florida, you just thoroughly thrashed Florida in 1977 in Gainesville.
We went out there with nothing to lose. We had a good season going. And our attitude was we had nothing to lose. They had 11 NFL draft choices on that team. Wes Chandler, you know, Fisher, Green. I mean, you can name them all this. But they had a tremendous team. And we had nothing to lose going out there and playing just a freelance game. The only thing we had to lose is that we were going to finish, you know, with another loss, which we only lost once that season. I was asked to not just play wide receiver that game. I was also asked to catch punts that game. And I caught punts in high school, but I never caught them in college. So we had some problems with our punt, you know, catching, I guess the word would be. So I had to catch punts. ABC game, first time I've ever done it. And I got pulled up like Wednesday practice and said, oh, hey, by the way, you're going to catch punts. And I went, what? Okay, fine. Coincidentally, Tommy Bowden was the guy that helped me get through that. Tommy Bowden was our graduate assistant as the defensive back coach, helped out Jack Stanton. So anyway, we felt that we had nothing to lose. The best thing we did was we played a wide open offensive game, and we played a great defensive pressure game. And our offensive game was throw it as hard and fast as we can throw it, throw it all the time, open up the holes, run a lot of draws of Larry Key, and then defensive-wise, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. We had some of the best defensive backs that I've faced. Bobby Jackson, Nat Terry, Ivory Joe Hunter was one of them. And we played man a lot in the back. And we pressured everything else up front. And so that gave them a problem of being able to score. And to me, it was kind of one of the first phases that you see with Florida State in their heyday these days, is the pressure defense. And we pressured the heck out of them. So That kept them from scoring, and then we just played the ball wide open the whole time. I mean, I caught five passes and a touchdown. Overby caught, you know, six passes and three touchdowns. Schumann caught some passes, and we just executed very well on offense, very well on offense. And that was the difference. Plus, we had, which I think was a very, very big key, we had Ron Stark as a punter. And fortunately, in practice, when I knew I was going to catch punts, their punter was a left-footed punter. Ron Stark was a left-footed punter. And a left-footed punter is different than a right-footed punter. But Ron Stark kept them backed up a lot and put them in tough field position situations that they have to go, you know, 70 yards all the time to score. My point is that with a great offensive attack, with nothing to lose, a great defensive attack with pressure, and then a good kicker that keeps everybody back, they were on their heels the whole time. They never really got off on their toes. That was the momentum that we had, and Bowden did a great job, in my opinion, of keeping that plan the whole time, all the way through.
And during your years, you beat the Gators 3 out of 4 times.
We always got up for the Gators. I mean, we always did. I mean, that's just an emotional ball game. You know, you can throw the records away. You play against these guys in high school. You see your friends out there. You're going to go to the Florida game ready to go. I think it's lost a little bit of it because, you know, Gators, they play a lot of different teams now that are – but I really believe that the players are ready to play for that game. And I remember playing against a couple of guys that went to my high school, Yancey Sutton being one, my junior year. He covered me in kind of a blitz package. And, you know, I caught a couple passes against him, and he'd kick me, and I'd get up and kick him, and it was just part of it. You know, and here we played in the same high school team, you know, just part of it.
Well, some guys you didn't go to high school with, I don't think, Texas Tech. You did, you know, pretty well against them and the Tangerine Bulls.
Yeah, I caught punts in that game also, and played pretty decent. I had 6 catches or something like that. But the Tangerine Bowl was, you know, our first bowl game to kind of get Florida State on the map. We hadn't been in a bowl game since, I think, the Fiesta Bowl in whatever year that was. But, you know, I think that Florida State, because they haven't been in a bowl game in a while, I think they just didn't realize what it was about. We had a couple buses break down. You know, it wasn't like you travel today in a bowl game. It was just different. We had a great time at Disney World as a team. The game was a blowout, I thought. Texas Tech was they didn't cover our wide receivers well. We could do anything against them. Larry Key had a phenomenal game. Broke open, you know, the opening kickoff. Just a lot of little stuff that we executed so well, and it was a momentum situation coming off the Florida win, coming off the excitement of being in a bowl game. And the energy was there. We dominated the game. We dominated the game. We absolutely dominated. But I just remember the lack of experience from a administrative point of view, from a facilities point of view, from a couple other things that Florida State hasn't been there before. Because, you know, when I went to the Orange Bowl after that in 79 and 80, the combinations were phenomenal and everything was done correctly. But you know, as a player, being able to play in a bowl game is very important.
So it was Bowden's coaching, obviously, that completely turned the program around. How much of it was his motivating you guys to play above your levels, and how much was the X's and O's?
I'm not trying to say anything about today, but I know when we were there, Bobby Bowden was one of the best motivators. He just has a way of being so personal with you to bring the best out in you. And he doesn't do it like a Vince Lombardi. It's all rah, rah, rah. It's a very simple approach that I really believe. I dropped a touchdown pass against my senior year against Miami, and we lost the game 10-9. And the next meeting we had to go play Nebraska, which we won 18-17. He in the team meeting of the night before that Nebraska game, he looked at me and he says, "Kurt, you know, you dropped that ball, but you won't drop another one." So he believed in you as a person. But he had a tremendous way of believing in you, not trying to make the team a rah-rah. The X's and O issue, the best thing that I had for Coach Bowden was that he coached wide receivers. So, you know, he knew what a wide receiver needed to do right and do wrong. But he coached Fred Biletnikoff. I mean, that was my idol. So when he said something about wide receiver and things like that, it meant a lot to me. He knew about wide receivers, and he coached some of the best of them.
How do you compare the riverboat gambler era that you were in with Bobby Bowden to today's older, wiser, maybe a little more disconnected from the team, the everyday coaching Bobby Bowden that's the winningest coach in college football?
I still think back then he was not as hands-on as everybody thought he was. I still think he used his coaches as letting them coach and letting them do their thing. He motivated the team, and he strategized with them. Did he attend every offensive meeting when I was there? No, he didn't. I mean, we met every Sunday night to watch the game film of what we played on Saturday. We never saw Bowden. He wasn't there. The offensive coordinators were there, and all the coaches were there, but Bowden wasn't there. Now, at the end of that meeting, when we were all heading back to our dorm rooms and things like that, you might see him there. Just, hey, man, how you doing? How you feeling? What's going on? How's your ankle? I mean, he would kind of get into that a little bit. So, you know, everybody's perception that he was such a hands-on kind of person back then, I think there was some of that. I think, it's an age issue. But I don't think he was as connected to every little detail like we all thought he was.
What's a memorable moment, that happened on the field or on the sidelines? Now, what's one of those untold stories?
The biggest thing that I remember, my freshman year, 1976, we played Oklahoma in Oklahoma. They had some of the top running backs in the nation. They were one of the top teams in the nation. I think they were ranked number four. I played against that day, two first-team All-American cornerbacks, first-round draft choices. 6'3", 197, could run like a deer, long arms, could do everything. And we lost that game. We lost them close. We actually were up. And this is I'll never forget this my whole life. We were playing on a sponge turf field. Sponge turf is different than AstroTurf. It's like a sponge. And it's hard and it's nasty and you get cut up and it's like playing on concrete, which made those running backs and those defensive backs a lot faster. The field also was crowned. So you actually, when running a route, you were running downhill. I mean, that's how much crown it had in it. And I'll never forget this in my whole life. Freshman, just turned 18 years old, came off the field. The defense was on the field and one of their big running backs took a ball almost all the way down to score. And the fans in Oklahoma, the field is built where the fans are like right there. I mean, they're like really intense. So you've got an AstroTurf concrete ground. You've got all these 90,000 people, and you're seeing them make a big run. And there was a big offensive tackle that we had. Nate Henderson was his name, standing right next to me. And I look back, and this is no lie, the Gatorade water coolers were vibrating off the bench and shaking like it was an earthquake. And the whole ground was just shaking. And I was like, going, man, what's going on here? And the benches were just bouncing up and down because of the noise and the excitement and all of that. And old Nate Henderson looks at me and he says, Kurt, welcome to college football. And he was just as calm as he could be. And I'm running around like I'm scared to death, playing to 90,000 people. It was just emotional for me. Emotional. I mean, I don't even think I remember, and I caught three passes that day, and I don't even think I remember running the route. I couldn't tell you what the plays were. I mean, I just don't even remember because it was just so intense. Another story that's kind of funny was when we played North Texas State my freshman year, and the field was so unbelievably covered with snow. There was no markers. There was nothing. And we didn't think we were going to play because the coaches were over there talking to the officials, both teams' officials, to say, how can we play this game? I literally had gardener gloves, the white gloves with the blue band. That's what I wore for gloves. So finally they started putting some cones out. And they put one at the 50-yard line. They put one in the goal line, excuse me. And on the sidelines, which is even wilder, we were drinking bouillon, hot bouillon. Not Gatorade, but bouillon to keep warm. I caught a couple passes there. I caught a 91-yarder and the extra point to win the game. And after we won, we all ran over to the sidelines, and there was a hill that we had to go up to our locker room. We tackled all the coaches. We rubbed their nose in the ground. We threw snowballs at each other. We just had a blast. And Bowden was part of that. It was just a fun time. And then we got back on the buses. We started singing Christmas. I had to go back to Dallas, Texas airport. We were singing Christmas carols. I was sitting next to my dad, and we're singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, that was just an unbelievable time. You know, we had won, and it was just great. It was fun.
Finally, here's an old-school lesson from Kurt for today's players. It helps explain the intensity and the dedication of Bowden's FSU teams, a level of unselfish commitment that's probably next to impossible to achieve in college football today.
I was at the Leon High School Hall of Fame banquet, and I had a time to spend with Billy Sexton, one of our old coaches, I guess the word is now. Billy was an All-American at Leon, and I knew Billy through the years. But he says, Kurt, there has not been a receiving core. Maybe there's been one or two wide receivers, but there's not been a receiving core that could catch the football like you guys did. We practiced, no lie. I went to practice at 1:15 in the afternoon. I came home from Florida State football at 9:15. So we had the confidence. I caught 150 balls a day by myself, not in practice. 150 balls a day I caught. So did my other guys. Hey, how many did you catch today? I caught 150, 152. I mean, it was that kind of intensity that you had. You know, we worked at it all the time. Back then, we probably had 10 players that had cars for 90 players. We couldn't go, to the mall, and we couldn't go hang out with unless somebody came and picked us up. And, I mean, the best thing that we did after practice was hang around and listen to music and go swimming. That was the best thing. We couldn't go anyplace else. We had no place to go. And we lived with each other. We bled with each other. We cried with each other. We laughed with each other. We drank with each other. I mean, it was just, but today it's only a 20-hour, whatever the number is. So I think you either got to do it by yourself or you got to, that's kind of what's happened.
Garnet and Great is produced by Rich Holton, FSU class of 71. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Go Noles!